So I guess I'll just read to you the last section, which is, I'm sure you can barely remember this, but our man is in, he's having problems with his girlfriend. So, you know. So, let me just read a part so that you could get these characters who end up making our ending happening. I was, the other side of story to this story was when I was in Santo Domingo, when I was a student, I hadn't gotten my passport straightened out till the general amnesty came down, and I finally got my passport straightened out. And that year, when my passport came through, they were advertising at Cornell for interpreters with dentistry background. And so I like signed up for a dentistry mission, and I said that I had a dentistry background, that I was a med student and stuff. And because I just wanted to go to Santo Domingo for free. And so we got on the plane, and I told them I didn't know nothing about dentistry, which was, you know, they were pissed, but I was on the plane. And so I spent, I spent like 4 weeks in the campo of Santo Domingo being a dental assistant. We were seeing poor kids, and, you know, and I learned so much about dentistry, and we saw like 1,600 kids in 5 days. And we pulled like 2,400 molars and stuff. And part of that came from this experience where I kept wanting to write about the dentistry trip. And the vice president of Santo Domingo kept showing up to get his picture taken with us, you know? And I kept wanted to write about the dentistry, and the only thing that remained was the vice president. Because all the dentistry came off corny. So this is this section. This is after his girlfriend decides to break out on him. That night, I loiter around the pool and the local bar, Club Cacique. Magda's nowhere to be found. I meet a Dominicana from West New York, though. Fly, of course. Trigueña, with the most outrageous perm on this side of Dykeman. Lucy's her name, and she's hanging out with three of her teenage cousins. When she removes her robe to dive into the pool, I see a spider web of scars across her stomach, and she tells me in Spanish, I have family in La Romana, but I refuse to stay with them. No way. My uncle won't let any of us out of the house after dark, so I'd rather go broke and stay here than be locked in that prison. I also meet these two older rich dudes drinking cognac at the bar who introduce themselves as the vice president and Barbaro, his bodyguard. I must have the footprint of fresh disaster on my face. They listen to my troubles like they're a couple of capos, and I'm talking murder. They commiserate. It's 1,000 degrees out and the mosquitoes hum like they're about to inherit the earth. But both these cats are wearing expensive suits, and Barbaro is even sporting a purple ascot. Once a soldier tried to saw open his neck, and now he covers the scar. I am a modest man, he says. I go off to phone the room. No Magda. I check the reception. No messages. So I return to the bar and smile. The vice president is a young brother in his late 30s, pretty cool for a chupavario. He advises me to find another woman, make her bella y negra, and I think Cassandra. The vice president waves his hand and shots of rum appear so fast you'd think it's science fiction. Jealousy is the best way to jumpstart a relationship, the vice president says. I learned that when I was at university. You dance with another woman, dance merengue with her, and see if your jeva's not roused to action. You mean roused to violence. She hit you, he said. When I first told her, she smacked me right across the chops. Pero hermano, why did you tell her, Barbaro wants to know. Why didn't you just deny it? Compadre, she received a letter. It had evidence. The vice president smiles fantastically, and I can see why he's a vice president. Later, when I get home, I tell my mother about this whole mess, and she'll tell me what this brother is the vice president of. They only hit you, he says, when they care. Amen, Barbaro murmurs. Amen.